Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter. Another miracle story of Jesus, this time a healing miracle. So I invite you to join me there if you wish. In the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, the scripture begins at verse 46. I invite you to hear God's word. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. One of the classes that I took during seminary was called Clinical Pastoral Education, and it actually was done in the setting of a hospital. So for an entire summer, I spent my time each and every day at Durham's Veterans Hospital, at the Durham VA Hospital, working in the role of a chaplain, and meanwhile taking classes to practice those pastoral care skills, interpersonal skills with other people. So it's in the middle of that hot summer that I am encountering a particular patient. I am walking through the extended care unit at the Durham VA Hospital. So a number of the veterans came there for extended periods of time. They weren't just in for a surgery and then released, but they came there to receive extended care and medical care that was needed for them. And some of them, it became kind of like a second home for them. And so I noticed on the list that I was carrying around that there was a new admit down on a particular floor. And so, as was the custom of the chaplain's office, when there was a new admission, you stopped by to greet the new patient that had come and to let them know that the pastoral care team was there to support them if they needed that. So as I approached the room, it was totally dark inside of there. All of the blinds were shut and the lights were all off. And so I gently knocked on the door, assuming that the patient was asleep. He was laying in his bed with his arms across him, folded across his chest. His eyes were wide open. And so I stepped in and I said, "Good afternoon. My name is Sally. I'm here from the chaplain's office and just wanted to greet you and let you know that while you're here, we want to make ourselves available to you." And so I continued on with the speech that I'd rehearsed many times, trying to be as kind and gracious and welcoming. And he responded with gratitude. "Thank you. Thank you for stopping by," he said. And I said to him, is there anything that I might be able to offer you while I'm here visiting?" And he said, "Well, I like scripture." And I said, "Well, that's wonderful. Do you have a particular scripture passage that's meaningful to you? I'd be happy to share it with you." And he said, "Psalm 23. And so I happened to have my Bible, as chaplains are supposed to have. It was in my pocket, and I pulled it out. And there I read Psalm 23 to him. He recited every word with me as I read. I was ready to kind of be on my way because it was awfully dark in this room. And he asked if I would read some more. And so then for the next 20 or 30 minutes, he continued to ask me different passages of scripture that I might read them to him. He said, "The Bible's grounded me throughout my life." And I said, "Well, is your Bible here in your room somewhere?" And he said, "No, I don't have a Bible." "Well, I would be happy for us to get you one." He said, "I don't want one. I prefer to commit them to my memory." So we continued talking a little bit more, and I prayed with the man, and, you know, he was had such a delightful spirit. I wasn't really understanding why it was so dark in his room. And so I said to him before I left, "Would you mind if I just opened your blinds a little bit? Maybe let some sunlight creep in and it will perhaps brighten your day, help you to not feel so alone." He said, sure, it didn't matter to him. He continued to lay there with his eyes wide open, stoic in his bed. "God bless you, sir. I promise I'll be back to visit soon." And I walked out the door, and it dawned on me. It dawned on me what I had missed during a 30-minute visit with this man. This man was blind. This man was blind. He couldn't see. But in reality, the blind person in the room was me. I totally missed. I hadn't gone and looked at the charts ahead of time. I just had gone blind into the room, ready to brighten someone's day. Offered those good pastoral care skills that I'd been learning. Ready and eager to share a moment and help to restore this man to his spiritual and mental health. In reality, the person that was most blinded in that room was me. Today we encounter a story in the book of Mark of a man who is blind. It's a beggar. It's a beggar, so it's someone that the whole town knows because they see him all the time. He sits outside the city gates. And he sits there begging them to give him alms or goods or coins so that he can care for himself. Well, they've become very aggravated with this man named Bartimaeus. They've become very aggravated by him because every time they walk by him, he's reaching out his hand and he's wanting something from them. He hears their footsteps coming and he starts calling out, "Help me, help me, help me." And so they're so aggravated by Bartimaeus. Well, that particular day, Bartimaeus got word that Jesus is coming through. And so Bartimaeus, again, sitting outside of the city gates, is crying out, "Help me, help me, help me." But this time he's saying, "Son of David, help me, Jesus, help me." And the rest of the crowd, those of us in the crowd who were familiar with him, who knew him quite well, told him to hush, stop, stop talking. This isn't about you. Be quiet, Bart. We've got nothing to do with you right now. Jesus is coming to town. You just need to hush. And he cried out all the more loudly, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me, help me, help me. And Jesus stops. And he said, tell the man to come to me. The crowd was probably disgusted. You know, they'd waited in line. They'd been eager to spend that time talking theology with Jesus. They wanted to understand some things, and it was finally their chance to talk to the man walking through town. And here he is calling out this nuisance, this blind beggar, and telling them to come. So I imagine they reluctantly went to Bartimaeus and said, "Take heart, Bart. He's calling you. Get up. Go see him." Bartimaeus throws off his cloak. He springs into the air and he goes straight to Jesus. And Jesus says, "What is it that I can do for you, young man?" "I'd really like to be able to see," he says. "Go. Your faith has made you well this day." And immediately Bartimaeus's eyes were opened. And the world around him was as bright as day. He could see. Then he followed Jesus on the way. Bartimaeus is courageous. He is courageous. Every single day he's ignored, he's mocked, he's told to be quiet. I can imagine the other mistreatment that he might be experiencing there. Perhaps the dust is kicked up onto his face as the passerbys walk by. I imagine they might even throw some things at him. I can imagine there were some unkind gestures directed in his way. And since he couldn't see, he didn't know how much they were making fun of him. Yet he is courageous. Courageous. He shouts out, Help me, Jesus. Help me. And then when Jesus calls him to him, he throws off his cloak. He springs up. Do you hear the action in this passage of Scripture reflective of Bartimaeus' courage? He shouted out. He threw off. He sprang up. Courageous. He came to Jesus. He's not just courageous, but he's bold. He's bold because when he's standing right there with Jesus, Jesus says, "Tell me what I can do for you." He doesn't think for a minute. "I'd love to be able to see again," he says. He is bold. He asked for exactly what he wants, exactly what he needs. "Please, I'd love to be able to see." And Jesus says to him, "Because of your courageous boldness, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." We encounter this word "well" time and time again in the Gospels. It's sozo, S-O-Z-O. Your faith has made you well. It's translated as "well" or "healing." So what is happening here is Jesus is saying, because of your courageous boldness, because of the faith that you have, Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. You are courageous and you are bold, and your faith has healed you. Your faith has given you the ability to see again. Your faith has made you well. Sozo, S-O-Z-O. And then the courageous, bold Bartimaeus, who immediately begins to be able to see, then becomes faithful. He becomes faithful. He doesn't just take for granted this gift he's received, that his faith has made him well and he can see again. But he begins to follow Jesus. He begins to follow the one who healed him, the one who gave him life, the one who spoke life into him. He followed him all the way. He was faithful. He was faithful. He didn't take for granted what had happened to him, the graciousness that had been bestowed upon him, and just decide that for his self-righteousness that he deserved to be healed. No, he followed Jesus. His life was changed. Jesus became the most important thing in his life. Courageous, bold, and faithful. I imagine the man that I encountered in the VA hospital, from the visits that I had with him after that initial meeting, I imagine that throughout his life, he had been courageous. He had been bold. He had been faithful. His mother who had died in recent years, is the one that always read the Bible to him when his sight was lost due to an accident in combat. And his mother read to him from God's word up until her death. He was faithful. He was bold. He was courageous. And I was blind. I was blind. And so it makes me wonder, what else are we blind to? Who else is right in front of us and we don't recognize what it is that they really need? Who is right in front of us and we have our blinders on? We cannot see. Or who are we joining the disciples with? And to the blind that are around us, we are yelling out, "Be quiet, it's not about you." What are we blind to, and who is blind around us that we are harming through our words and through our actions? Brothers and sisters in Christ, our friends at a Jewish synagogue, at Tree of Life Synagogue yesterday, were the latest victims of hate crimes, of mass shootings, of anti-Semitism, gathered in the safeness of their place of worship. Are we blind? Are we so blind to the hate around us that we don't speak out in courageous, bold, and faithful ways against those who are harming and hurting others? Who are we blind to? Is it racism? Is it sexism? Is it the fear of the other? Is it homophobia? Is it the homeless? Who are we blind to? Who have we become so closed off and our eyes tightly shut that we can't even hear out or care when they cry out around us? Friends, today Jesus is saying to us, take heart, get up. I am calling you. I am calling you to come to me and allow the faith that you have in me to make you well, so that you can have eyes that can see new things, so that you can have courage and boldness to speak out against hate, and courage and boldness to follow Jesus in the way all the days of your life. Take heart, friends. Get up. He is calling you. And you, and you, and you, and you. May our eyes be opened, and may the blindness of our sin fall away. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.